It is time for our biblical worldview question of the week. Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away. Good morning to you.
Well, good morning to you, Steve. It's a great day.
Well,
it is going to be
a great day. I'm so glad that I'm able to connect with you and share in this, because here's the reason why. The question is, why is it important to listen to other people's life story? And I think of, you know, going back to, the days of the disciples, right? And the building of the church. How did they learn about what it was like to live a Christian life? It was because we saw the stories of other people's lives. And now, thank goodness, we have God's word in 66 books, and we can go and we can say, hey, look at the story of Joseph, look at the story of Abram, look at the story of Gideon. But we have people right around us who are strong Christ followers who do set example for us, good and bad. So that's the importance there. So let's dive in and discuss why it is important for us to listen to other people's life stories.
Well, I'm so glad that we have the opportunity to talk about it, because I think we're all a bit guilty on some of this. Oh, but it needs to be talked about. You know, Scripture is very clear, James 1:19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. This idea of listening is not just because it's kind. It's there's purpose behind this. And, you know, part of earning the right to speak into the lives skeptics or doubters or even Christians about Jesus comes first with a heart's desire to listen to life stories. Tell me about yourself. Tell me about your life. Where did you come from? You know, tell me about this and that and the other. Get to know people. Know their language so you can speak their language to them. And, you know, listening to life stories, listening to questions, listening to concerns, are the things that we need to be about. You know, are the usual pattern, sadly, of Christians, many, not all, engaging with a skeptic is to share their own story, right? And then encouraging them to believe in Christ, and that's about it. Or to repeat a prayer, which is important if it comes from the heart. But there's just so much wrong with that when our interaction with others is about our own story with no concern about others. And it may be, your conversion story may be of interest to you, but it's rarely life-changing for someone who's spiritually lost. And those that even listen to us are searching. They are searching. And how often do we give the skeptic an opportunity to first share their story, including why they chose not to believe Jesus as their savior? And this is huge, because they do have a story. Yeah. But the Christians have been guilty of not asking their story first so they can talk about that as they share Christ, not their own. You know what I mean?
Well, that's, you know, there is a phrase, and I'm going to mess it up because I'm thinking of it and paraphrasing it because I can't quite remember exactly what it is. But it's, you know, that people aren't going to be interested in what you have to say until you're actually interested in them. And that's what we have to do, is we need to ask their story, our interest. Jesus didn't walk up to people and just blurt out his story. He said, no, what? I know your story. He focused on the other person. He showed us how to listen and engage with doubters, didn't he?
No, totally. I'm thinking right now when you say that, Steve, of the woman at the well.
Yes.
Boom. Yeah, you know, look at the conversations he had with the disciples. I mean, this is the thing, because listening to and encouraging others to share their questions about life, their fears of death and suffering, without fearing judgment from the listener. And that's really how Christ did it, right? When he interacted with skeptics. And the thing is, when we listen without interrupting, which is very hard for some, we can give we can give the lost, those that are seeking, an appreciation of God's compassion and forgiveness, you see, with by not overreacting to their story, even if it's horrible, some of the things they did, but to be quick to show God's compassion and forgiveness. And it will also validate the words of the seeker and affirm that they, their life, themselves, whatever is on their heart matters. They're not a mistake. They're like all human beings who sin and who mess up. And listening often speaks louder than our words. And this is the thing, to show patience as we're listening to people who may go on and on. You just go on and on with them, you know. And it will confirm that we care about them on a very personal level. And it gives them assurance that we're there for them during the good and the bad. And when the time is right, over time, we can offer the hope and grace of Jesus. But until they see it, don't you agree, Steve? They're just really not going to get it. And I know, Steve, you counsel many, and I'm just saying that it's God's charge to all of us to love and serve others, no matter how convenient it might be. And going out of our way, being late to something because you're listening to somebody else, because that's more important, you know. And ironically, when we listen and encourage others, we often find peace and hope in our own difficult situations. And God's mercy and grace are great, and I think greater, when we walk with him as we are serving and loving others. And this is where I think, Steve, I'm interested to know where you're coming from this, because when we pour into others, for some reason, do you believe that there's healing within ourselves?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we were made for relationship. And even from a counseling perspective, you know, the person who is there and in need of being, you know, given hope, God works in both people in that room. And as much as he changes the heart of the person in need of hope, he changes the heart of the person who is helping them. And that's what spiritual friendship really is about. That's the nexus of counseling. You know, it's just that you are walking something out. We are discipling together. And that is what God has created us for, is for relationship in that way. And it's a wonderful thing. It's an absolutely wonderful thing. But what scripture supports that, though?
Yeah, Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Here's another one, 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, tender heart, and a humble mind. And then John 3:17, but if anyone has the world's good and sees his brother in need, yet chooses his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? And you know, it's so interesting, and we've talked about this before, that God called us to go into all the world and disciple. He didn't call ourselves to go into ourselves and suffer. He called us to go into the world and disciple, having people-to-people contact.
Yeah.
And I just think there's so much to this, that to get out of a funk, invest in someone else, get involved in somebody else, and watch God begin to work. Don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. It's one of the best things that we could do for ourselves, is when we feel that we're isolated, alone, or down, or whatever that might be. It is about, if I can go do something for someone else, God uses that in an incredible way. And, you know, the Bible does have accounts of good and destructive interactions of people who have tried to give advice. So, you know, we saw this happen when Job was in his suffering and his friends came along and everything was fine until they opened their mouth. The second that they start speaking, the whole story goes sideways.
I know. And that happens so much in real life. You know, I just hope I'm not a part of too much of that. But, you know, yes, in the book of Job, you know, Job loved and he obeyed God, and God blessed him with family and wealth. And then God allowed Satan to test Job's faith. And literally, he lost, Job lost his 10 children to death. His livestock were killed. He became ill and was ostracized by his people. You know, and then enter three of his companions who came to, quote unquote, comfort him. And they broke all the rules of giving godly counsel. And this is such a great example for us, Dee. They were critical. They were impatient. They were not wanting to listen to Job's story, not one bit. And they refused to listen. They refused to pray with him and join in his grief by being there with him. And that's the thing. It doesn't always take words to comfort and be with people, just being there. But they certainly didn't get this. And instead, they lectured, they questioned, they advised, ungodly advice, they rationalized, and they rebuked him from their hard hearts. And they argued with him that his suffering came from his sin and that God's wrath was judging him. And, you know, we look at this story, and it's just an awful example of bad friends. But it's easy to judge Job's friends. But the question we have to ask ourselves, are we more like them than we like to admit? And do we try to avoid someone's suffering and needs and needing somebody to listen to their story by escaping talking to them or even getting in touch with them when we know somebody's hurting?
Yeah.
Maybe we're quick to condescend to meet them and then talk and offer advice, quote scripture, give them a pep talk rather than listen and support them emotionally. And I think that is the heart of where so many people are. I'm going to go and cheer this guy up or this girl. I'm going to listen, but I sure as heck don't have time to get involved. So I'll make this a one and done. And then we justify our own bad behavior for that attitude because we have our own stuff to worry about and are too busy doing more important things. And man, when we realize that this is not really about us, our life here, it's about loving and serving others, then we get it.
Yeah.
But if we were in need, and I think we all can know somebody that has a voice of comfort to us, how that made us feel. And we need to replicate that.
Well, we know from James that, you know, if anybody lacks wisdom, that we should go to the Lord. And we have the wisdom of Solomon and his writings in Proverbs. And there's so many, many good pieces of information about this very thing, because we can become the biblical fool, can't we?
Oh, yes. And, you know, it's so funny. God uses the word fool. And we think, oh, no, don't ever use it. Well, Solomon used it. And we're going to read about it in a second. But again, some of this is kind of humorous, but not really. I mean, listen to this. Proverbs 18:2. One who takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. That's a biblical fool. You know, this idea of it's just my opinion. I don't want to hear anything about you. Just let me pontificate to you. Proverbs 18:13. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly in shame. So, you know, the person who always has that pat answer, oh, just trust Jesus, you'll be fine. You know, that's probably true overall. But we're called to speak their language, to hear them, speak to their heart. And those clever little quotes, those Christians cliches aren't really appreciated as much as you might think. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. There you go. And here it is here. Proverbs 18:2. The fool finds pleasures only in saying what he wants to say. Because of his pride or selfishness or lack of love, he doesn't care about understanding. He is impulsive, and he answers before he hears. In Proverbs 18:13, such a person is deemed foolish and shameful. So there you go. That picture of how disgusting it is from Christ's point of view that we're so selfish in our own lives that we don't take time to truly, with our hearts, reach out to others. So that those are profiles. Thank you, Solomon, for those. And it's a wake-up call for all of us, because I think we all make mistakes sometimes on our own agenda versus others.
Yeah, yeah, we definitely do that. Teaching Tuesday in our Biblical Worldview Question of the Week. We're going to get to the weather here in just a moment, but we got to wrap things up with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away Worldview Ministries. By the way, you can find information at anchorsaway.org. I want to encourage you to go to that website to find all the information. And by the way, if you get messed up on your spelling of that or anything like that, just go on over to KellyandSteve.org under resources. We've always got all the information connected there for Anchors Away. But go to anchorsaway.org, find out the information about the boot camps and worldview training, the modules that you can take online. There's great Bible studies. If you and your life group are in the middle of a summer break and you're trying to figure out, hey, what do we want to deal with and what do we want to tackle in the fall? I want to encourage you to pick up Unanswered, Smoke, Mirrors, and God. And you're going to be looking at this and have a deeper understanding of the Lord. It's just a wonderful, wonderful resource that I want to encourage you to look into and maybe grab that, download a sample chapter over there and check out the videos. But you're going to want to bring your life group along on that journey. You will be better for it. Well, let's get back to our question here. We're looking at the importance of why we should pay attention and listen to others' stories. Why is that? Because, you know, we share and we glorify God with a testimony. But the problem is we foolishly spout off and start talking about ourselves, and we don't want to do that. There's a biblical reason why we don't want to do that. It's because Jesus loved others. He didn't tell his story first. He dove into the story of those he met. So what's that require? Well, attention and good listening. And we have some great examples of that. Nancy, right before the scripture that you're going to share here in 1 James 19, we need to pray for wisdom when we have interactions with people. And right before verse 19, back in 5, you know, James tells us that if we lack wisdom, we just need to ask God and he will give that generously to us. And
yeah,
we need good discernment and wisdom when it comes to being a good listener, don't we?
Yes. And really, that is what it's all about, is asking God to give us the Holy Spirit, you know, to really step in and to listen for us, with us. If we try to, and you know this more than I do, but if we try to counsel and to listen without inviting God in the midst, it is worth nothing. And I think that goes back to the profile of a good listener, is the opposite of the, you know, a proverbial fool. The good listener is patient and energetic and focused. He lets the other people finish without interrupting, you know. He is eager to put others before himself. He listens and works hard to understand that other person, not to fix him, but to understand him. And he doesn't think so highly of himself that he regularly speaks before he hears. And this is the thing about Christ, because he always listened. We talked about that a little bit earlier. But this is the whole point. God calls us to go to others with him. And the very nature of God is one of love and compassion. And I think that is really what we need to wrestle with right now, is where do I stand? Am I a fool or am I a good listener? And what is the heart behind listening to people? So I'm heard, so they think more highly of me, or so I can listen, be compassionate, and be maybe that one person in their life that isn't judging them. And this is the opportunities to be a listener are just magnificent, and God gives them all to us. Steve, I found a prayer. I sent it to you that was online, and there was no name attached to it, but I think it's pretty cool. Do you want to read through that?
Absolutely. You know, when you had sent this over and I was looking at it, you know, this is really the prayer of someone who is been touched by humility, who is aware of who they are and want to glorify the Lord. Now I'm going to read what Nancy has given to us here. It says, "Dear Lord Jesus, I want to walk in spirit and truth, to walk humbly before you, and to learn to be graciously patient, especially when I am with other people. Lord, I want to live a life honoring you and fulfill the role that you have given me to do within the body of Christ. Please help me to be quick to listen to other people and not always be the one who wants other people to always listen to me. Help me to listen in love, not only to their needs, their hopes, and their fears, but to listen to their advice and their opinion. May I encourage them as someone who lifts up the other person and considers their needs before my own. Please help me to listen to what others say and not to be waiting for an opportunity for me to discuss my opinions or display my own overinflated intelligence. Give me the grace and the patience to be a good listener so that I may demonstrate the love of Jesus to all around me. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen." When I think of those words, Nancy, right there, there is such humility in those words. And I would imagine that Jesus' own approach when he went off for solitude in his own prayer life, that he would guide. I mean, we need no longer even go further than John 17 to look at the high priestly prayer of his desire to serve his Lord, and that he was only interested in those who God gave to him to present himself to. And if that is what we would pray ourselves, if this prayer that we just read was something we said to ourselves every single day before we left our door, how could the world change? The world changed because the Lord sent his only son, one man who came for all. And if we could just be a smidgen, a tiny sampling of that in this world, and we all did that, we would turn this place upside down.
I think businesses would change, all of it, just by being kind and not trying to step on somebody to get to the next ring in a ladder or whatever.
Yeah.
But I just think it's such that the prayer was magnificent, and just the reality of us coming to grips as to who we really are and how selfish our and prideful our hearts are. And God's desire.
And that's the thing, is that God has a desire for us to be able to do that, to be willing to be the hands and feet of Jesus, because God is more interested in the story of other people than he is in us sharing our own story. Though there is a testimony that we can glorify God with, that is ultimately what we need to be doing, is paying attention to others. That is our biblical worldview question of the week. I want to encourage you to go to anchorsaway.org anchorsaway.org. Find out all you need to know about the biblical worldview resources that are available to you. The boot camp, you got the questions of the week, and the podcast as well. You're going to want to check out all the podcast episodes, the Anchors Away podcast, and you are going to find that all at anchorsaway.org. Nancy, thank you so much for this week and this question, and we look forward to our next time we meet up.